Well, here we are in the youth building, and it's a place that I'm kind of comfortable with, and yet we haven't been here for quite a while. And, you know, as we've been doing these video messages each week, as I kind of watched, you know, like many of you, I've really had a hard time with just what was going on in our world. I go to the store, and the first thing I hear on my radio is coronavirus, and then I come out of the store and get in the car, and the next thing I hear is coronavirus. And be honest, I really kind of had a hard time with, you know, just the changes in things. And, you know, I, like many of us, just really struggling and kind of wrestling with all the different things going on in our world. And I was reading through the Bible and, you know, thinking about our graduates and thinking about like this week and just what a crazy year it's been. The year didn't start out this way, but, you know, now, the end of the year, everything is different. Expectations from the beginning to the end are just totally different. And I really kind of had a, kind of felt for you and kind of had a heart ping for you. And as I was reading through the Gospels, probably 6-7 weeks ago, I came across a verse, John 14:1, and it says really simply, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." And as I kind of read that, I just kind of stopped and paused and just kind of reflecting, because I had a troubled heart. I wasn't even sure what Jesus meant when he said, "Don't have a troubled heart." But I know that, you know, there's things going on inside. And as I was kind of, you know, looking at what that meant and just doing some study there, you know, the idea of being troubled is the idea of not so much fearful, but more of like agitation. So I know some of our painters among us know that sometimes with paint cans sitting for a while, it needs to be kind of agitated or kind of stirred up a little bit inside, which can be a good thing. The picture that Jesus uses of that word is really one where the inside kind of gets really stirred up. And I thought, you know, that's a good, accurate picture of what it means to kind of be troubled, to have a heart that's not at rest, at peace, that's kind of gets stirred up. And there's been a lot of things, you know, that stir us. And you know, I thought I would use an illustration this morning and just list some of the things, you know, that kind of have gotten me and kind of gotten us stirred up. So I just kind of made a list of some of them. So, you know, the school year started and, you know, come, you know, March, the world started changing and, you know, trips started being canceled, you know. And then, obviously, I'm a big sports fan and, you know, I feel for some of our young people with school sports, like the spring sports got canceled. I mean, that just, I mean, I feel for you. I mean, I was like, oh, but I love sports as well and professional sports. And so when the MLB season didn't kick off, you know, I'm like, oh, you know, sort of, there's been stress over toilet paper. You know, shake that a little harder. All right. School programs are canceled, all right? School is canceled. Year-end activities canceled. Prom and all those things. Maybe you saw a dead cat on Tiger King. Maybe you watched Tiger King. We'll really shake that one up because that's really get you agitated. You know, virtual prom. You know, you have to wear a face mask at work or have to wear a face mask anywhere. You can't go outside. No church activities. Church activities are canceled, and we can't be with our church family, and camp is canceled, and you've been working on the same puzzle now for, you know, for months and months, or maybe you're doing the same puzzle over again for the third time. You know, you're just kind of messing with you. You can't find a summer job. You can't visit with your friends. You can't go see your family. Your parents might be off of work. Don't know if schools will be open in the fall. For maybe some, that actually gives you a little sense of peace. But for many of us, though, you know, that's an important thing. Maybe you have to wear a hazmat suit, you know, when you go back to school. Maybe classes won't be in person. Maybe they'll, you know, be online. And then there's the whole political scene. You could really shake that up. Most of you graduating get to vote this year, and it's like, what is that all about? And it's just the anxiety and the stress, and all of a sudden your heart is just agitated. It's just, you know, inside. Now, the outside might look fine, but inside, your heart is just completely stirred up and completely shaken. And it's like the pressure build up, just ready to pop. And Jesus says to his disciples, John 14:1, it's the last night of Jesus' life here on earth, and he says to them, "Don't let your hearts be troubled, be agitated. Trust in God. Trust also in me. You know, and so I was thinking about that and thinking, all right, well, why would they have agitated or troubled hearts? You know, isn't it Jesus the one going to the cross? Isn't Jesus the one that is, you know, really feeling that? In fact, Jesus mentioned this a couple times, that he had a troubled heart as well. And so, probably about a year earlier, Jesus had mentioned for the first time that they're going to be headed to Jerusalem, and he's going to be handed over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and he's going to be crucified, and then he's going to rise from the dead. And, you know, it was probably a year earlier, and in that time, they had gone to Jerusalem a couple times, and nothing happened. And so, you know, that's kind of a troubling thing. They didn't know what Jesus meant. About a month out from Jesus going to the cross, you know, he told them again, listen, we're headed to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be handed over to the chief priests, the teachers of the law. They're going to abuse me, and they're going to scourge me, and they're going to crucify me. 3 days later, I'm going to rise from the dead. And they don't know what he's talking about. They don't know, you know, what, but yet they're just kind of going. And, you know, they finally get to Jerusalem. So you get the Palm Sunday, right? And they're riding in, and, you know, it's the festival, and people are coming from all over the place, and people are all excited. And, you know, Jesus rides in, and, you know, people are screaming, Hosanna, Hosanna. And Jesus, it's interesting. One of the things that he does is he's kind of approaching Jerusalem as he weeps over the city, you know. And, you know, what is he weeping over the city? This is a celebratory time. And then Matthew mentions that the whole city is sort of in an uproar. Not so much troubled as more like an earthquake ready to just erupt. Like, you know, people don't, you know, some people are excited, some people are upset, we don't know what's going on. And so that's, you know, that's Palm Sunday, and, you know, Jesus goes to the temple, but it's late at night, and so they go back to Bethany, which is just a couple miles away. So Monday morning, they leave Bethany, and they head back into Jerusalem, and Jesus sees a fig tree, and he's hungry, and the fig tree is all leafy, and he's like, oh, there must be some figs on there. So he goes up the fig tree, and there's no fruit, and Jesus curses the fig tree. You know, they curses the fig tree, and the disciples are like, what's he doing this? You know, it has the appearance of fruit bearing, but it was barren. It was light. It hadn't produced what its intended purpose was. And they're like, what's going on? Jesus goes to the temple, which is what he did. And he goes to the temple, and he goes there to teach and to preach. But what does he find in the temple? The court of the Gentiles is just full of merchants and people trading, and the whole temple area, people are just using it as a thoroughfare, not as the place to come and worship and honor their God. And so Jesus overturns the tables, and he says some interesting things. One, he says that my house will be called a house of prayer. He's quoting Isaiah 56. And Isaiah 56, the whole verse is, my house will be called a house of prayer for the nations. And the whole area where the Gentiles had come and worship, that was just crowded full. And so Jesus overturned those tables. He also said that you've made this place a den of robbers. He's quoting Jeremiah 7. And in that place, in Jeremiah 7, is the nation of Israel. They were robbing worship away from God and accepting that for themselves by the things that they were doing. They were robbing God. And Jesus, that just kind of lit a fire when he came into this place. So this is the place where we honor our God. And the disciples are like, whoa, what's going on here? And Jesus leaves that place. And, you know, some Greeks want to talk to Jesus. And Jesus finds out about it. And Jesus starts again remembering what this week is about. And he makes a statement. He says, now my heart is troubled. Same word that he says to the disciples, troubled. Now my heart is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And Jesus then talks about he is here to give his life for the sin of mankind. And that's the purpose that he was, and it was right before him. That's what this week is about. And the disciples, you know, they kind of hear that, like, wow, what's going on? So they leave, and they go back to Bethany, for the evening. The next day is Tuesday, and Tuesday in the Gospels is just a day of huge conflict. It's a day of intense emotions. And, you know, like a good rabbi with the disciples are right there with Jesus as he goes back. And as they go back in, they see the same fig tree that morning that Jesus cursed, and it's withered from the roots all the way up, which is a great symbol for what's going to happen that day, that this is a day that just highlights the barrenness and the fruitlessness and the deadness of what the nation of Israel and their worship and religious leaders have been about. And Jesus goes back to the temple to teach, and the people and the leaders are like, by what authority are you doing this? And, you know, the religious leaders, they hate Jesus. They want to kill him. And so the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians, they all come and they all ask these questions to kind of get Jesus and trick him up and to get him to stumble. And he answers all of their questions. And Jesus also teaches parables about the kingdom of God and what, you know, life in God's kingdom is really all about, and people are amazed at the teaching. The religious leaders hate him and want to kill him. And so Jesus leaves the temple area, and, you know, the disciples are talking about the temple, and Jesus says that this temple, it's not about the temple, it's going to be destroyed. Jesus talking about himself, you know, going to be, again, talking about, you know, 2 days from now, I'm going to be crucified. And so they go up to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples are really confused and perplexed, and they say, "When are these things going to happen? You know, what's going on?" And so Jesus again continues to comfort them and tell them about the future events of when these things are going to take place. And you have this Olivet discourse that Matthew records, this long sermon of teaching that Jesus does for them. And so they finally get done with that. They head back to Bethany that night, and they go to the home of Simon the leper, and Lazarus and Mary and Martha. They're all there with Jesus, and that's the story in John chapter 12, where Mary takes a jar of an alabaster jar of perfume. It's worth a year's wages, and she breaks it, and she anoints Jesus' feet with it, and has this moment. And the Gospels tell us that all the disciples were indignant at this. What a waste! I mean, you know, this can't be honoring Jesus. This cannot be what Jesus wants. And so they're all a little frustrated and agitated. And it's Judas that we hear speaks up, saying, "That could have been sold for a year's wages and given to the poor." And this, they have this moment, and it's at that moment that Judas leaves, goes to the religious leaders and says, "I will betray Jesus into your hands, and I will look for an opportune moment." And that's how this long day of conflict and emotion and turmoil ends. Tuesday ends that way. Wednesday, the Gospels really don't tell us anything about what happened on Wednesday. On Thursday is the day of the Last Supper. And so they get to that moment that night. And that Thursday night, here's sort of what happened. All right. So they all gather, and obviously, you know, everybody is thinking about themselves. You know, they're a little bit confused, but there's also some excitement because, you know, it's Passover and, you know, things are happening. And, you know, Luke tells us that a conflict arose amongst the disciples over who was the greatest. I mean, Jesus had been living as a servant and telling them that the first shall be last. And yet even that very night, that Jesus could be betrayed, they're having this conflict. Who's going to be the greatest? You know, who's going to be the greatest? And then you have Jesus then takes the servant towel and washes all their feet and sets an example before them. And then Jesus says, "Man, my heart is troubled." There he is again. He says the same word. "My heart is troubled. My heart is stirring in my heart because one of you is going to betray me." And I thought about this, you know, the pain of betrayal, you know, and, you know, the thing that comes to mind is, you know, Pastor Mike or Pastor Jay, those that are closest to me, you know, to have one of them betray me. You know, I trust both those guys. You know, I can't imagine one of them betraying me or stabbing me in the back. And that's what the disciples felt that night, because they didn't think it was Judas. They're like, "What? When's it going to betray? Who is it?" And so, you know, the John tells us that, you know, the one that Jesus loved, you know, leans over and asks, "Who is it?" And Judas is identified, even though the disciples still don't know. And it says, at that moment, Satan entered into him, and Judas left to go meet with the religious leaders to betray Jesus. And, you know, you can imagine why Jesus' heart would be troubled in the midst of all the other things going on, that his closest friends one of them was going to betray him. And so Jesus is there, and the disciples are like, well, I don't understand what's going on. Then Jesus says this. He says, I'm leaving. I'm leaving. You know, this is the last meal we're going to have. I'm leaving. And they're like, what are you talking about? And Jesus had been saying that he was going to be crucified. And so now the disciples are like, we'll go wherever you're going to go. If you're going to face suffering, we're going to face suffering. And they're all like, yeah, we'll do that. And Peter, you know, is like, you know, I'll die with you. I will go to the very end. And all the disciples agree. Jesus says something very interesting. He says that in the Gospel of Luke, he says, Peter, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. You know, I don't know that Satan has ever sifted me like wheat or asked, you know, anybody to sift me, but Satan had asked to sift Peter like wheat. And Jesus says, I have prayed for you. Peter's like, you know what? Bring it on. I'll die with you. And Jesus says, before the rooster crows this night, you're going to disown me three times. And they're like, what is going on? What is going on? And then we get to John 14:1. Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let your hearts be all stirred up. Trust in God. Trust also in me. What is amazing to me about that is that Jesus never told the disciples to do anything that he himself didn't do. When Jesus says, trust in God, that's exactly what he meant. Trust in the Father. Because that's exactly what Jesus had been living with them for 3.5 years. He had been modeling for them what it means to trust in God. In fact, John 14, that rest of that chapter that follows, Jesus mentions the Father 23 times, talking about the Father this, the Father that. It's about the Father. In fact, Jesus had been saying this about the Father all along, and I'm here to accomplish the Father's will, to do the Father's will, that Jesus had a troubled heart at times. There were moments where his heart got stirred up, but it's not, is there going to be something to stir my heart? The question is, am I going to allow my heart to continue to be stirred and shaken and just let it continue to stay there? And Jesus always went back to, what did the Father say? Trusting the Father's word, trusting the Father's will for his life, knowing that the Father is good and that the Father loves. But Jesus didn't stop there. He didn't say, trust the Father and end it. He said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. And he says, trust also in me. Jesus' love for his disciples, he had been living with them and loving them and caring for them. And now at the moment of crisis, when things are stirred up, he's saying, here's the cure for your troubled heart. Trust me. Just trust me. Some of the things that Jesus said, he said, you know, the Father said, I must go to the cross. So to the cross I must go. And he says to his disciples, do you trust me? The Father also said that I will not remain in the grave. Resurrection is coming. Do you trust me? In my Father's house are many rooms, and I am going there to prepare a place for you. Do you trust me? I will come back one day to take you to be with me. Do you trust me? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Do you trust me? I and the Father are one, Jesus said. If you know me, you know the Father. Do you trust me? The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, is coming to you to teach you and to convict you and to comfort you. And unless I go, he will not come. Do you trust me? In following and obeying me, Jesus said, you will do even greater things than I have done. Do you trust me? As the Father loves me, so I love you. Therefore, love each other. Do you trust me? I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener. Apart from me, you can't do anything. So always stay close and connected to me. Do you trust me? The Father sent me to you guys to bring you guys to the Father. And now I'm sending you guys out in my name to do the same. Will you trust me? The Father has entrusted all authority in heaven and earth to me. So go and make disciples of all nations. And I will be with you and help you to the very end. Do you trust me? See, Jesus didn't just say it but not live it. Jesus had complete dependence upon the Father, his plan, his will. He had confidence in the Holy Spirit to accomplish and finish the work. And Jesus knew that this path that he was on was one that must happen, and it was to honor and glorify the Father. It was for the joy set before him, and he calls his disciples to follow in his footsteps. And it wasn't going to be a path that was stress-free or anxiety-free. The point was, when moments come, and they do come, and we live in a world where all these things are coming, you know, all getting all stirred up, the question is, are we willing to trust in the Word of God and trust in the love that Jesus has for us and just humbly follow and obey and not focus on all the distractions? Are we willing to trust? Are we willing to trust him? And so that's sort of my question for us today, you know, because the same thing that Jesus said to the disciples is the same true for us. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. So really, I don't know if I should open this, but I don't want my heart to be stirred. I just want to be calm. Do I really trust? You said just follow and obey. Okay. It's nice and calm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very good. So don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. So, Father, we just thank you for your love for us, for your words of truth, for Jesus modeling for us the commands that Jesus gave us as his disciples are commands of love. He loves us, and he walked before us and calls us to do the same. And in these troubled times for our graduates and for all of us, all the different things that cause us to be stirred and shaken inside, that you would remind us of the gentle, comforting words that Jesus gave. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. So, Father, help us to live that out today. In Jesus' name, amen.